for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tuesday evening, July the 1st, 2008. Chip Hill is the speaker of this service, teaching on disappointment, giving up resentment.
So Chip, come and bring with you the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen. Good to see all of you all. Praise the Lord. Would you stand up again? And this time, I want you to just turn to somebody and hug them, shake their hand. Just tell them how glad you are they're here.
I'm glad they're here.
Now, I realize how dangerous that can be. Because sometimes when you turn them loose, you never get them back again. But I realize one thing tonight. I have a lot of preachers here tonight. And as a matter of fact, you introduce a bunch of preachers like we're introduced tonight before the poor bum who has to speak gets up there. And all of you who said something wrecked everything I had to say tonight. So I just throw that out of here and forget about it. I mean, everything I worked on for the last 5 days is gone. Because every one of you said something I wanted to. I'm sitting there saying, "Yeah, yeah, Lord, should I talk about that? Yeah, Lord, should I go after what he said? Man, that's good." So I don't know what I'm going to say. No, I do. I really do. But I got to gather a little bit of it up again. Maybe not all of it, but a little bit. Now I don't have it in order. And that's okay.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I feel like the Lord wants to set all of us up for everything else that He wants to do this week.
That's right.
And I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 13. And while you're turning there, I'll tell you a little bit about who Darlene and I are. I pastor in the West Central Highlands of Virginia. That's another way of saying we're right in the heart of the Appalachian Mountains. If you were to get a map of the United States and look at the Appalachian Mountain range, it runs from Maine down into Alabama and Georgia. And if you were to look at the length of it and the width of it and go somewhere right around the center of the whole chain, you'll find a little town called Monterey, right on the edge of Virginia and West Virginia. And we're on the Virginia side. And Monterey means Mountain of the King.
Amen.
And we're believing God for that. And you know something? He's established something there. And He's using that as a base of operations. And we're reaching out into the rest of the Appalachian Mountains, planting churches, just doing the work of the ministry. And one of the neatest things that's happening is something you've mentioned, sister, is the unity. It's been my heart to have unity. Not ecumenical unity. I can't stand it. To me, ecumenicalism is a cuss word.
Thank you.
Because it means I have to give up something valuable and precious in order to walk in unity with you. And I can't do that. I'm talking about Spirit-engendered unity, where the Holy Spirit brings men and women together who are of like precious faith. Now, we might not always agree on certain theological things, but our doctrine is Christian.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes.
I mean, all of the doctrine. I could go through the whole list right now, but it's not necessary because I sense in my heart that you have the doctrine correct. You may be post-trib, you may be mid-trib, you may be pre-trib. I don't care what you are. You just go ahead and be what you want to be. We all agree that Jesus Christ is coming again.
Amen.
And I can walk in unity with you, and I'm not going to argue with you if I think an argument would come out of it. I'm not going to argue with you over pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib. I'm not going to argue with you. Now, if we can have an intelligent discussion, I'll do that. But I'm not even interested in that. There are other things that get my motor running other than talking about those things. Some people believe in once saved, always saved. Others don't. I'm not even going to talk about that. People ask me, what do you think about that? I don't think about it. I don't want out. I have no intention of getting out of this. What we're doing is we're bringing men and women together who are of like precious faith. And we have two pastors' prayer meetings a week now. And they're coming from three different counties. And they're coming to our church, which is called Word of Faith Church and Revival Center. And they come there because it's sort of it's a central location for all these ministries that we're reaching out to and touching and ministering with and to. And our heart has been to see a massive revival and spiritual awakening come to the Appalachian Mountains of the eastern United States, but also to the rest of the world. I wanted to travel everywhere and preach, but now I've got a real heart for the place where God planted us 31 years ago to start a little church, which has grown into a larger church, and we've had the privilege of planting other churches and being involved in Mexico and in Africa and different places. But praise the Lord, we believe something awesome is in the wind. I have a book I want to make available to you. Patty informed me there's a lot of them back there. It's called Warriors by Blood. It's a book I wrote a few years ago. Warriors by Blood, Born to Raise Hell. R-A-Z-E, hell. Okay? Born to Raise Hell. A revival of immense proportions is engulfing the nations of the earth. We are facing an age where contagious evangelism is made simple by sovereign outbreaks of the Spirit of God. Many of us who have longed to see this harvest of souls still do not fully understand the levels of spiritual warfare into which we are about to be thrust. We still do not understand who Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of Armies, has appointed us to be. Warriors by Blood was written to both remove the veil of traditional thought, which dulls our hearts, as well as to revive the sacred passion imprinted in our blood. There's a sacred passion imprinted in our blood. We're born again people, spirit-filled people. We love the Lord Jesus. We're sticklers for the Bible. There's nothing else that matters more than the Bible. This is the only book that's full of truth. And there's something imprinted in our blood that just we can't get away from if we wanted to. You know, some men go to war because they're forced to. They're drafted. Some men go to war because they're embarrassed not to. That's what happened when World War II broke out and my dad had just graduated from high school and he went into the Army Air Corps. And he went, well, he was patriotic. Something that there's quite a short supply of that in America nowadays. But he was very patriotic, and he went because of his patriotic feelings. He also went because he was embarrassed not to go because all of his friends were going. So there are different reasons why people go to war. But then there's one class of warrior that is very unique, and that's the warrior who's a warrior by blood. He goes because it's his passion to enter into combat. And I believe that in the Christian army, there are those of us who are warriors by blood. It's in our blood. It's in our blood to face down the enemy. It's in our blood to run out every demon that we can possibly run out. It's in our blood to stand for the Word of God when no one else wants to. It's in our blood to share the gospel of Christ with a lost and dying world. It's in our blood, and we can't stay quiet. They'll have to behead us and kill us to silence us.
That's right.
And even then they can't silence us because our blood will cry out.
Amen.
Amen. It's like when Father Ridley and who was it? I'm trying to remember this. There were two priests in England. that were being burned at the stake. They were full of reformation. They had left the Catholic Church. And I'm not against the Catholic Church. You know, I mean, I'm not, I didn't make that statement to say anything against the Catholic Church. But back in that day, they left the Catholic Church because what God was doing in the Reformation was awesome. Father Latimer and Father Ridley. And they both were tied to a stake back to back. And the brush was piled up all around them, and the flame was coming up around them, and they could feel the heat, and it was horrible. And Latimer turned around, and he saw the face of Ridley, and he saw Ridley blanch. Ridley blanched. That means he grew pale. It was fear beginning to grip him. You know, he was wanting to cry out. He was wanting to give his captors and his executioners what they were wanting to hear. And he blanched, and Latimer saw it, and he said, "Ridley, play the man. Play the man." That means be courageous. Play the man. He said, "This day we will light a fire in England that will never go out." And you know, they died there at the stake. But the blood that they shed and the death that they gave, the sacrifice they offered for Reformation, took hold and swept the whole of England. Amen. And you know something? Those were men who were warriors by blood. And I believe that there are men and women today who are warriors by blood. So I want to encourage you, if you'd like a copy, we have that back there. For a much... Well, I don't know what they're selling it for. Patty has them. And you'll just have to ask her. Okay. Praise the Lord. I sensed in my heart as I was sitting here, and I asked the Lord about it two or three times because I wanted to make sure He was saying yeah, and I wasn't just coming out of my mind. There's some of you who have had your hope deferred recently. Now, I told you to turn to Proverbs 13 and look at verse 12. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Now, to defer means that something is indefinitely postponed. It may be fulfilled, it may not be. It's indefinite. To defer means to put off something or to delay, often without explanation. And when your hope is deferred, put off, postponed, delayed, often without explanation, if you're not very, very, very watchful at that moment, it can make your heart sick. And when your heart gets sick, it opens you up to demons. It opens you up to demons of affliction and infirmity. It opens your mind up to demons of mental torment and despair and hopelessness. It opens you up to spirits of discouragement, spirits of dejection. And I believe there is a demon that is really moving on the earth today against the body of Christ called demoralization. Demoralization. To demoralize you. No courage. No desire anymore. No fight. Hardness of heart comes out of that. Remember what Jesus upbraided His disciples about after His resurrection? He upbraided them for two things. Unbelief and hardness of heart. See, the unbelief is they didn't believe anything anymore. They were struggling to really believe anything anymore. And He upbraided them for that. And He upbraided them for hardness of heart. Hardness of heart means that you don't care that you don't believe anymore. Anybody in here been in that place where you just don't care that you don't believe anymore? You don't care that you're not out there putting it on the line for the Lord? There are a lot of people who have been discouraged. And it all begins with disappointment. Now, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. The tree of life is a symbol of healing and health and victory and well-being and wholeness and preservation and all the good things that salvation means. Salvation. It says hope deferred. Another translation says hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Another translation says, but when the dream comes true, there is life and joy. But if you have your hope deferred, it makes your heart sick. Now this kind of goes along with 3 John verse 2. Beloved, I pray above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. But if your soul, if your heart is sick, if your soul is not prospering, then you're not going to be in health. And you're not going to even see financial prosperity or prosperity in anything else. So I sense in my heart that there's some of you that have come out of a time of deferred hope. Probably it started with disappointment. Because that's where it always starts. In the early years of tank warfare, I'm a military student. In the early years of tank warfare, tank commanders learned early on that when they were attacking an enemy line, it was best to put their tanks in what was called the arrowhead formation. Okay? And the lead tank would breach the enemy line. And once the enemy line was breached, then there was a tank back on this side and a tank back on this side and another tank back further and another tank back further, and they were spread out further and further the more they went back, and eventually as the lead tank penetrated the line, the next two came in, it broadened the breach, the next two came in, it broadened it even broader, the next two came in, and it broadened it even broader, and then once the tanks drove the enemy back, then the infantry, those are the foot soldiers, they were able to come right in behind the arrowhead of tanks, and they'd come right into uncontested ground and establish whatever they wanted to establish there in enemy territory. And, you know, tank commanders kind of discovered that formation, early on, I guess, in the 1900s. Okay? Satan's been using that formation against Christians and against people for centuries. The arrowhead formation. And I'm a believer that the arrowhead formation that he sends against us starts with the tip of the arrowhead is called disappointment. It's hope deferred. It's when maybe you were believing for a loved one to be saved and they died and you don't have any proof that they were saved. Maybe you were believing for a loved one or maybe yourself to get healed and they didn't get healed and they died. Or maybe it's for yourself. You've been believing God for healing. You thought you were and you haven't been healed. And it's been months now and maybe even years and you're still experiencing the symptoms in your body and you're feeling disappointed. Your hope is beginning to be put off and delayed and deferred. Perhaps it was a marriage that went sour. Perhaps it was a marriage that didn't make it. Perhaps it was a teenage child that went way off in left field and they haven't returned yet. And you're tired of praying for them and you're tired of waiting. Perhaps it was a business deal that went sour. Perhaps it was an investment. And I want to tell you something. Right now, people who have had money to invest in various things, many of them are hurting badly now. You know, where is the best place to invest? I mean, we know it's the kingdom of God.
That's right.
But the Lord's not opposed to you having investments. You know, the righteous man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Amen? And it says over in 1 Corinthians 12 that it's the parents that lay up for the children, not children for the parents.
That's right.
So there's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, where is a safe place? You know, everybody says in diversity, you know, have some real estate, have some gold, have some silver, have some IRAs, have, you know, money markets, have CDs, whatever you do, diversify. And even if you've done that, you may be experiencing a time of great shaking as the economy is shaking everywhere. I mean, it's really something. Gas prices like they are. You know, the oil we need, folks, is the oil of the Holy Ghost. If OPEC isn't going to give us enough oil, let's go in the oil of the Holy Ghost. Brother Glenn, if they can't fly me out here, maybe the Lord will just translate me out here with Holy Ghost anointing. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. But some of you have been disappointed. And that disappointment has caused a breach in your spirit, or if not in your spirit, in the soulish part of you, in your mind, in your emotions, in your willpower, in your fight, because that's where your fight comes from. It's part of who you are. It's part of your soulish makeup. Sure, it's rooted in your spirit man, but it manifests through your soulish man. And maybe the disappointment you've faced has caused you to feel that your hope has been deferred or put off, and your heart is getting sick, and your soul is getting weak, and God wants to take care of that. He wants to take care of that tonight so that you'll be ready to receive everything that everybody else has to say, and you'll be able to receive everything the Lord wants to give you this week. Why wait till the last day of the conference to finally get it? Why not get set up to get it tonight so that the rest of the week it's going to be easy to receive everything, that you'll be ETR. Amen? Easy to receive.
That's right.
Amen. How many of you want to be ETR?
Yeah.
Well, listen, if disappointment has breached your soulish man, and behind disappointment, I believe the next two tanks that roll in, which demons, are discouragement and despair.
Yeah.
Disappointment, discouragement, dejection, despair, demoralization. Five biggies, five big D's, five big demons that come to take your hope away from you, so you just give up. You don't care anymore. The Lord wants to set you free. Let me tell you how you can know exactly what, if you've been impacted by disappointment and the other things. Number one, lately you've been retreating to the rear. Lately you've been withdrawing. You know, there's a spiritual fight, there's a spiritual war going on, and lately you find yourself retreating to the rear. You're withdrawing from people. Maybe you're withdrawing from the life of faith. Maybe you're withdrawing from the pursuit of the miraculous. Maybe you don't care anymore. I know when I get my hope deferred and I begin to withdraw, and then somebody comes up to me and manifests a demon or problem, they need help, you know what I'll do? When I'm withdrawing, I'll say, well, go to Brother Bill Null. He's more anointed for that than I am. I begin to doubt my ability to deal with things. And I begin to lose the passion to even want to deal with things like that. So if you've noticed in your own life that you've been withdrawing from ministry and withdrawing from group settings and withdrawing from the pursuit of the miraculous and the walk of faith, then it could be that disappointment has breached your heart. All right? Maybe there's another sign. Maybe lately you've been extremely bitter, extremely angry, and outrageous. Maybe you get angry. Maybe you get ticked off more quickly than you know you're supposed to. Maybe things are just getting under your skin a little bit more. Maybe you don't have the joy of the Lord and the peace of God ruling in your heart as much as you used to. Could be disappointment. Somewhere in your life, disappointment has breached your life. And a symptom of it is this bitterness, this subtle, seething frustration and anger that may be cooking inside you. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? Could be disappointment. I'm getting some hands raised up here. All right. Another thing that is a sign of disappointment has breached your inner man is a stronghold of cold love. A stronghold of cold love. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24 about the last days? And folks, we're living in the last days.
Oh, hallelujah.
I don't know how much longer it's going to be, but we're living there. Things are intensifying quickly. What did Jesus say in Matthew 24? He said, because iniquity shall abound. One translation says, because lawlessness shall abound. And how many of you know there's so much lawlessness in the world today? Lawlessness abounding and iniquity abounding. I wrote a book called Kingdom Commandos back in the 80s. And I wrote in that book that Satan's ace in the hole against men of God to keep them from coming up to the front line and fighting the fight and winning the battle where it really counts is going to be pornography. That would be Satan's ace in the hole. And I said, you know, and when I wrote that, I was thinking about X-rated movie houses. And I had read David Wilkerson's book, The Vision, and he said one day it's going to be on television. And I heard along about 86, 85 that in New York City that there were some TV stations that after midnight you could get an X-rated movie. And I'm thinking about, you know, that and Playboy magazine and Hustler and Penthouse and all those big name pornographic magazines. I'm thinking about, yeah, these things are going to really be getting men and stopping men in the last days. And I knew in my heart God's telling me that Satan's ace in the hole against men rising up and playing the man for God is going to be pornography. Little did I know that we'd have what we have today. That at the click of a mouse, you can bring up any kind of sexual thing that you'd ever want to see or not want to see. I was talking to a friend whose son works in a Baptist campground, a convention center type thing in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And he and his wife kind of run the place. And they have these conferences for men. And most of the men who go to this thing are Baptists. And they a lot of times have Baptist preachers. Just conferences for Baptist preachers. And she was telling me that her son and daughter-in-law told her that recently, I think this was last year, they had a little Baptist convention and there was a pile of Baptist preachers in there. And they started talking about pornography. And when they asked how many of those Baptist ministers present, how many of them were struggling at that point in their life with pornography, at this particular conference, every one of them raised their hands. Normally, it maybe would be half, maybe 60%. But at this particular conference, every one of them, there were about 100 of them, raised their hand, struggling with pornography. Don't hate those poor men. Those men have been trapped. They've been captivated by one of the most despicable, strongest forces on earth. Stronger than alcohol. Stronger than gambling. They say, and Dr. Null could tell me this, they say that when men get into pornography like that, there's a chemical released in the brain that creates an insatiable desire to go back to it again and again and again and again. And it takes more than your own power to break it. It takes the power of Jesus Christ and His blood. Amen? Amen. Sir? Yeah. Stronger than cocaine. Stronger than cocaine. Wow. And you've seen cocaine addicts. We're dealing with two or three of them in our church right now. They're having a struggle. They keep going back to it. But we're there for them every time they come back. We're blessing them. We're praying for them. We're doing everything we can for them. But it's a strong addiction. And that's the way pornography is. It's a strong addiction. Well, anyway, it's the Lord told me that it would be Satan's ace in the hole in the last days to keep men off the front lines of battle. All right? So, another indication that you have been impacted by disappointment is passing responsibilities, your spiritual responsibilities off on other people and walking away from God's calling on your life. Passing your responsibilities on to others. And listen, I'm speaking from experience. Darlene and I were just 2 days ago, I was pouring my heart out to her about how disappointed I've been over certain things. And I just felt like, man, I'm just ready to quit.
Anybody, you ever been there, brother? I mean, it's... There have been times you feel like quitting, but you don't.
That's right.
But you know, have you noticed that some? It's disappointment that will cause you to feel that way.
Absolutely.
You're disappointed in maybe the money didn't come in. Maybe this project you had on your heart didn't come to pass. Maybe, you know, with me, you know, I love to write books. I just love to write. I love to write down what I'm learning. And some of my books haven't done very well. And that's very disappointing. And I told Darlene, I told her recently, I said, you know, I don't think I'll ever write another book. And she's seen me. She knows how. I mean, I'm honest with you, folks. When you have a barn and you've got dozens of boxes of books of various titles stacked against the wall in your barn and they've been sitting there, you feel like giving up. See, that's the sting of disappointment. I thought my books would have a better chance than that. And yet, I still have new revelation. I have new things God's showing me, and I'm still writing, and I've got books ready to be published. But disappointment will keep me from pressing on. I've just got to learn how to tweak things a little bit. Instead of getting 3,000 copies made, get 300 made.
There you go. Build your own wedge.
You know, I'm saying, Lord, yeah. Lord, I've still got 2,000 of Warriors by Blood sitting in the barn. And I've still got, gosh, Lord, over here's 1,000, The Strong Hand of the Lord. And Lord, over here is 500 Dynamics of Revival. And Lord, they're not moving. And so I'm sitting around saying, Lord, get some of those Africans to write letters to me again asking for help. And I'll send them the books. Get some of those Chinese to ask for help, and I'll send them boxes of books. Lord, get some of those Ghanaian Christians to write to me, and I'll send them books. Lord, anybody, any English-speaking country around the world, Lord, just get them to ask me for help, and I'll send them books for free because I want to get them out of the barn and out into the hands of people where they're needed. And I'm willing to do that. So if you're here and you need a box or two of books to send to your friends that maybe can't afford books or don't have books available to them like we do here in America, then just contact me and we'll work it out and try to get you some books for some of these people. Because I've got to write. If I quit writing, if I quit expressing what the Lord's showing me, you might as well knock me in the head and send me on home. Because if I can't express myself, I'm going to die. I'm like Elihu in the book of Job who said I've got to vent. You know, the word, I've got to vent it. I'm like Jeremiah who said it's like a fire burning in my bones and I can't hold it in any longer. And listen, when you live in the most sparsely populated county east of the Mississippi River, way out in the middle of the mountains where there are more sheep and cattle than there are people, where you don't have to dodge people crossing the road, you have to dodge deer crossing the road, and groundhogs and possums.
And bear.
And bear. Yeah, literally. You don't have the opportunity to speak that much, so you write. You got to get it out. And if you can't get it out, you die. You talk about a bad case of bloat. Anybody in here had a bad case of bloat? Where you just couldn't get it to go come up or go down? And you just feel like you're going to float away? Sometimes the word in you is like that. You just got to get it out of you, man. Amen? I heard some of these young men at dinner. I was sitting over at another table there, and I heard them talking about the things of God. And I said, they got it bad. Young men... You know, they've got it bad. They're discussing the things of God. They're getting filled up. They're already filled up. And they're going to have to express it. These are our future ministers of the gospel.
Amen.
Future ministers of the gospel. Well, perhaps disappointment in your life has caused you to refocus your affections and your energies and your attention on safer non-spiritual pursuits. Perhaps disappointment has breached, as the tip of that spearhead or that arrowhead has breached your heart, and it's caused you to refocus your affections, your energies, and your attention on safer, non-spiritual pursuits. I went into a season of extreme disappointment in 1988. Very disappointed. I brought a man in, and his wife. Actually, we tried to get him not to move to our church and move to our area because we just didn't know if it would work out, because this guy was real smart. He was real smart, and he had a lot of experience, and he had once been the fair-haired boy of a major denomination, and he wanted to move in, and he assured me that he wasn't going to try to take over.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that wonderful?
And so they moved in, and within a month, within a year, he was coming to me and telling me, you know, you're really not a pastor.
Oh,
you know, you're really good. You were really good at starting this work. You were really good at raising it up, but you don't have the goods to carry it on, and you need help. And of course, because he was so smart and so educated,
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I was just an old farm boy, you know, who became a minister, you know, and I listened to him. And Darlene and I both listened to him. And when he started pointing out everything that he saw was wrong, and the reason it was because of us not being good pastors, in my youthful foolishness, I said, well, brother, would you help? And he took more control than what God wanted him to have, and God didn't want him to have any. I realize that now. And so by the time I realized that he was destroying the church and separated myself from him, he turned a lot of pastors who had once been my friends over in the Shenandoah Valley of Virginia against me. He went around telling them what a rat think I was. And I kept my mouth off of him. And I just had to yield that to the Lord. But I corrected the situation. I put myself into a situation I shouldn't have put myself into. It cost me dearly. And one thing it cost me, such disappointment, that I began to withdraw and refocus my energies on the wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
Safe things. I became a football coach. I became a wrestling coach. Which was good because my boys were coming up then, and I got them involved in both sports and kept them out of a lot of trouble coming up through high school. And you know, but the whole time I was coaching football and wrestling, my passion for the things of God was very low. I was still pastoring. I was still teaching every Sunday. I was still, you know, trying to write some books. I was still doing some things. But my passion, what God had called me to do, was taking a back seat because I had refocused my attention and my energy on something because of disappointment. So if you're here and you found that you've refocused your attention and your energies on other things that are safe, you're not going to get in trouble as a football coach. You might get a few parents cussing you. You're not going to have trouble with the kids. It's the parents. You need to drop kick them over the moon. But if you're a parent with kids in sports, be merciful to that coach. He's a volunteer. He doesn't have to put up with your kid. Amen?
You helping him.
Anyway, if you're here and you've refocused your attention and your energy, could be you've been disappointed. And finally, if you've noticed a lessening resistance to sin, it's probably because somewhere you've been disappointed and discouraged and dejected and you're in despair, which means hopelessness, and maybe even you've come to demoralization. You're just demoralized. All the wind has gone out of your sails. If that's you, God wants to set you free.
Amen.
Initially, tonight, but it can't end here. It's got to be something else that you do. What do you do with disappointment? We're going to pray for you in a minute. And we're going to break the power of that disappointment. And if it's a demon, we're going to cast it out. If discouragement is a demon, if despair and hopelessness is a demon, we're going to get rid of that thing, get it off of you tonight so that you'll be wide open to receive everything else God wants to do for you this week. And if it's not a demon, if it's just a condition of your heart, a wounded spirit, then we're going to ask God to pour in the healing balm and fix that so that you'll be ready to receive everything out of this conference that God wants you to receive. But let me tell you before we do that, let me tell you some practical things you need to do to deliver yourself and keep yourself delivered from the sting and the trauma of disappointment. Because disappointment is traumatic at times. Sometimes it's very slow, it creeps in and you don't even realize it. But other times it's very sudden and traumatic, and it can tear you up, this disappointment. Okay? What do you do to walk free of disappointment and keep free of disappointment? Number one, just be honest with God.
That's right.
What are you disappointed about? God's not opposed to you complaining to Him. Don't blame Him. That's not smart. But the psalmist said in Psalm 142, verse 3, or verse 2, I pour out my complaint before Him. I declare before Him my trouble. So there's nothing wrong with pouring your complaint out to God. It's a whole lot better to complain before God than it is before men. Because you're not edifying them when you complain. Listen, you go complaining all the time to your pastor, you're going to wear that poor guy out.
Whew.
No, he can't. The best place for you to go is to the altar of God. The best place for you to go is to the solitary place like Jesus did in the morning or late at night. My time is late at night. I walk out on the hills around my house where you can't hear a single sound. You don't hear any traffic. You don't hear anything. The planes that are flying over are 35,000 feet or higher. You can't hardly hear them. We're out in the middle of the wilderness, surrounded by the George Washington National Forest. I hear coyotes. Occasionally I hear some bears up on the mountain behind my house. And I'm out there under the stars. And that's where I pour my heart out. And I have a hill there beside my house. Mountains behind me, mountains across the road, but there's this one hill down in the pasture near my house that I named Jawbone Heights. You know what that was, don't you? That's where Samson slew 1,000 Philistines. I've slain 1,000 demons on Jawbone Heights, Brother Glenn. One time there was this seductive, sassy gal that was after my oldest son, Bruce. And she was no good. And she didn't love the Lord. She was sensual. She was hot to trot. Yeah, and her mama was after him for her daughter. And we've been believing God for a good Christian girl for Bruce. And all of a sudden, see, this was Bruce's first year in public school. He'd been homeschooled up to the 9th grade, and he went in 10th, 11th, and 12th grade into the public school. And this gal, man, she came after him along with her mama. And he began to fall. He began to give into it. I mean, you know, she was a good-looking girl. And so Darlene and I went out on Jawbone Heights. Because nothing we could say to Bruce would do it. You know, I mean, he's 15, 16 years old now. He's thinking for himself. He's already heard all he wants to hear mom and dad say. You know. But man, I'm telling you one thing. God knows how to get through. We have a secret weapon. So we went out on Jawbone Heights, and there's a little depression there in the ground. And we sat down in there. And we, in the name of Jesus, after we prayed and worshiped the Lord, because just don't go right into warfare. Worship the Lord. Just, you know, the Bible says that He is enthroned on the praises of Israel. He's enthroned. So what we do is we enthrone Him with our praises, and we build a throne zone, you know, around us. And in the zone of that throne, there's power and glory. And we worship the Lord. Well, when the time comes, then we go into warfare. And we came against that seductive demon in her that was reaching out and drawing him. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the power of His blood, we command you in the name of Jesus to let our son go. We're not asking you, you stinking dirty dog. We're telling you, let him go in the name of Jesus. We break your power. Who do you think you are trying to steal the son of a man and woman of God? Who do you think you are? And we fought and we fought. I don't know how long, but until we sensed a note of victory. Sometimes you got to stay at it And we sensed the note of victory. And within the week, the gal dropped him. He didn't drop her. And then while he moped and groaned for about 3 more days, we chuckled. Because we wanted him also to learn what kind of woman she was. And don't go get another one like her. There's plenty of wonderful women of God out there. Wonderful, beautiful girls who are going to be awesome women of God in the days to come. They're going to be like that woman in Psalm 144. Look at that. Psalm 144. Psalm 144. I love this. Verse 12. That our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as pillars sculptured in palace style. We want our daughters to be as pillars, sculptured in palace style. Praise God. You ought to read Psalm 144 just and claim it, man. I'm telling you. Blessed, look at the first verse. Blessed be the Lord my rock who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Glory to God. Look at verse 5. This is my prayer all the time. Bow down your heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains. The Appalachian Mountains.
Yes.
Amen. And they shall smoke with your glory.
Hallelujah.
Touch the Ozarks and they will smoke with your glory. Touch the Rockies. Amen. And any mountain the devil has raised up against us, touch it and burn it up in the name of Jesus. As we speak against it, Jesus said in Mark 11:23 that you'll say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea. Don't pray to God about it. Don't ask God to do it. He's given you the authority to speak to it and say, be removed and be cast into the sea. And He says, if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you say will come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. You'll have whatever you say. Amen. And so anyway, we've gotten a big thrill over that story about Bruce. You know, we set him free by going to Jawbone Heights. Amen. Yeah, I can tell. All right. So, what you do to avoid succumbing to disappointment? Because listen, disappointments come. And listen, not all disappointments from the devil. Some of it's from God. You might be asking God and believing God for something foolish He doesn't want you to have, and He's going to disappoint you. You better hope He does. You don't want to have what He doesn't want you to have.
That's right. That's right.
Phil Keaggy, one of my all-time favorite musicians. Phil Keaggy is probably the best guitarist alive. I mean, this guy's awesome. Great guitar player. Phil Keaggy had a song years ago called, I can't remember the name of it, but the line in it was this. It said, disappointment, his appointment. Change one letter, change the D to an H. Mm-hmm. It said, disappointment, his appointment. Change one letter and you'll see that the thwarting of your purpose is God's better plan for thee. So there's some disappointment that's from God that's good. And I thank God there's some things I wanted to get or I wanted to see happen that He didn't let happen. And now, in hindsight, I can see and I'm glad that it didn't happen. But then there's a lot of disappointment that comes from the devil. And he's trying to breach your spirit, breach your heart, breach your soul. He's trying to breach your life and bring you discouragement, dejection, despair, and demoralize you, and then bring the lie in that you're no good, that God doesn't love you, that God's not for you, that God doesn't favor you, because if God favored you, you wouldn't be so disappointed. He wants you to believe the lie that God's not for you. So don't let the disappointment do that to you, no matter if it's from God or if it's from the devil. Wherever the disappointment came from, keep your focus on the Lord and go to Him. Find your own Jawbone Heights and go pour your heart out. Because as you're pouring your heart out to God, pouring your complaint out, guess what God's doing? He's pouring Himself into you. Sometimes God can't pour Himself and His stuff into you until you pour your stuff out. There's a lot of stuff in us that needs to get poured out. so he can pour his stuff in. And his stuff is good. I'll take his stuff over that stuff any day.
Amen.
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 Pour your complaint out to God. Oh, God, I feel like a jerk. God, I'm so upset. I feel like quitting. I hurt. This hurts, Lord. I'm so disappointed. He's not upset by that kind of language. What he doesn't like is that perpendicular religious talk. Oh, thou holy one. Oh, you know, he understands West Texas. He understands Cajun.
Come on, man.
He even understands a mixture of Arkansas and California. He understands Dr. Noel. He understands me. I got mountain talk. They laugh at me when I go north and preach. They like the way I say miracle.
Miracle.
I say, well, how do you say it? And they say miracle.
Yeah.
Miracle. That makes my wrist go limp. Miracle. No, it's miracle. We need some good old miracles. God understands, doesn't He? He understands your language. You can speak a little pig Latin and He'd understand it.
Yeah, that's right.
Listen, you know what I'm saying. Just pour your heart out. Don't worry about how you sound, and God will meet you. Number two, what to do with disappointment. Realize that a lot of the disappointment that we face has come because somebody let us down. Someone, for instance, there was a couple, a man and a woman, that had a tremendous word from God, a prophetic word that their ministry was going to blossom and they were going to impact the world for Jesus. A few months, maybe a couple years later, the man ran off with another woman. And then the wife that he left behind is so disappointed that she's beginning to question God. And then she's getting angry at God. And then after she worked through the anger and the questioning of God, see, the word came, God was trying to give that man something to stand up with. So he wouldn't follow his temptation to go off with another woman, that he would say, yeah. Yeah, this is a powerful word. We're going to have a powerful ministry. I need to shape up, man. I need to get ready. I need to prepare to be used in what God's calling us into. But rather than do that, the man freaked out and he just went off in left field and left this poor grieving woman feeling like God had told her a lie. And then after she worked through that, being angry at God, then she felt like, well, that word was for us, and I guess God can't use me because He's gone. You know, my husband's gone. And well, listen, realize that someone's sin against you does not remove you from a place of significance in the kingdom. Someone's sin against you does not remove you from a place of significance in the kingdom. The only thing that'll remove you from a place of significance in the kingdom is your own resentment. No matter what they do to you, you keep your heart right, they're not going to knock you out of the ballpark. You're still there. Don't let that disappointment make you bitter. Let it make you better. Amen? Number three. And I love this one. We learned this from Bill Johnson. Find your voice in the Psalms. When you're struggling with the pain and the trauma and the bitterness of disappointment, go to the book of Psalms and read the Psalms until you find your heart's cry. The book of Psalms deals with so many different aspects of human life, so many different traumas and trials and pains and tribulations. If you'll read the Psalms, you'll eventually, probably pretty soon, come across a psalm where you'll be able to pray that psalm and you find your voice in it and it's your psalm. And it will, and then when you find it, I found it in Psalm 31 a couple weeks ago, and I just camped. I just settled down in Psalm 31 and I prayed those prayers of David, and I just cried out those psalms, and I found my voice there and my heart's cry there. And as I camped there and stayed there, my spirit began to be lifted up.
Amen.
The disappointment, the sting of the disappointment began to go away. So find your voice in the Psalms and anywhere else in the Word, but the Psalms are a real good place to start. And then read them and settle down there until God infuses you with renewed vision, with renewed passion, and with renewed strength.
Amen.
And then stay there and stay before the Lord until a peace that surpasses understanding invades and gains the mastery of your heart.
Yes.
Stay before the Lord in seasons of disappointment until the peace of God that surpasses understanding invades and gains the mastery of your heart. And you know, a lot of times it's there, even though you can't even understand why you should feel so good. You've been disappointed so badly. But it doesn't matter anymore because the peace of God is there. Amen? How many times, brother, have you had to find the peace of God in the midst of disappointment? I know up there in where you live, it's in the Bronx, man. It's been tough. But you find the peace of God. All right, number five, and this is very, very important, particularly for those of you who have been disappointed in ministry. Refuse to devalue what God has already taught you. Never allow disappointment to force you into sacrificing what He has given you so that you may embrace the disappointment. Let me give you an example. I have prayed for people, and I've seen them healed. And I have prayed for people, and I've seen them not get healed, and I've seen them die. I am not, but see, I've got a revelation of the healing power of God. I am absolutely convinced. I don't care what the other theologians say. I am absolutely convinced that healing is a part of the atonement. I am convinced that when it says, surely He bore our sicknesses and griefs and carried our pains and sorrows, when it says in Isaiah 53:10, it was the will of the Lord to bruise Him unto sickness or make Him sickness by bruising Him, I am convinced that it's not talking about spiritual healing there. My spirit didn't need to get healed. It needed to be reborn. It's talking about physical healing. I don't care if I pray for 1,000 people and they don't get healed. That does not invalidate Calvary. If Billy Graham were to come into Hot Springs and preach an awesome salvation message and everybody in Hot Springs showed up to hear Billy Graham preach, maybe his final message, and if one person, not one person, gave their heart to the Lord, that would not invalidate Calvary. I don't know why some people don't get healed, and I don't know why others do. My job's not to figure that out. My job's to keep praying. But there are people who've been so disappointed because they prayed for somebody and they died that they back off and they begin to devalue the revelation of healing that God's given them. And you can't devalue what God's already given you. Never allow disappointment to force you to sacrifice what you already know just so that you can embrace the disappointment. Because when you embrace the disappointment, then you give yourself a right to bail out on life, to bail out on ministry. And God doesn't want you to bail out on life and ministry. Just keep going. And if God gives you the answer, if He answers your questions as to why or why not somebody got it, fine. But if He doesn't, that's okay too. Just keep going. He said, in My name, the believer will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I heard Kenneth Copeland say one time, he said, I'm just the hands lamb onomer. I'm the hands lamb onomer. That's all I do. God does the healing. It's His power. Okay? So refuse to sacrifice what you've already learned. Amen. And finally, this is one of my favorites. Rebuild and maintain your solid front. Your solid front. Because when that tank formation, the arrowhead formation,
comes into its, the line of its enemy to breach it. If there's a solid front there, it can't do it. And the only solid front I have, the only solid front I have as a Christian is the Word of God. It is written. It is written. And then quote Scripture at that disappointment or the demons behind it that are trying to get you to get discouraged and give up. The solid front. Now, I wish I had my guitar and all of that. I'd do it. But I wrote a song about this. I'm going to try to sing it. That's all right. Whose guitar is that? I'm a guitar player, and it's his. Okay. G. I don't know. I can't do it. I didn't bring my pick. Maybe I'll do it for you sometime this week. Well, I need a pick. I don't have my pick. You're not helping me a bit, brother. I know. Where is the pick? Oh, I see it. Darlene, I might have to have some help. Oh, no, she's making a face there. No. All right, let me see. There it is. Where do I sing? Okay, that's right. I'll not be disappointed. I'll not be discouraged. I'll not be dejected. No. I'll not become despairing. I give in to demoralization. The Word of God's my solid front. Amen. I'll not be disappointed. I'll not be discouraged. I'll not be dejected. No. I'll not become despairing, nor give in to demoralization. The Word of God's my solid front, amen. And Jesus Christ is my Lord. As long as He's alive, I will win. I'll not be one to doubt Him and listen to the devil. The Word of God's my solid front, amen. Amen. All right, the Word of God's your solid front. And Jesus Christ is my Lord. As long as He's alive, I win. And it doesn't matter what stings you, doesn't matter what hits you, doesn't matter what knocks you down. One of my favorite movies was The Ghost in the Darkness. Anybody ever see that movie? The Ghost in the Darkness? Now, you don't think I'm watching ghost movies. It's a true story. Val Kilmer, an actor named Val Kilmer, played Doc Holliday, and you know who I'm talking about, okay?
Yeah.
All right. The Ghost in the Darkness is about a British engineer who sent into the western reaches of Kenya in 1913 to build a bridge. And the problem he runs into there is there are two man-eating lions who are killing the workers. They're going in at night. These things are demon-possessed lions. And they're going in at night, and they're even dragging workers out. They're sleeping in groups, and the lions are going in and killing them in groups. And they kill dozens of these African workers. And to the point where they don't want to work for the man anymore, and he can't build the bridge, which means he's going to be in big trouble with his bosses back up in England. And so he hires a hunter named Remington to come in and to kill those lions. And that's what the movie's about. But there's one scene in there where Remington and this bridge builder, this engineer, and a group of Maasai warriors, they locate the two lions who they named the Ghost and the Darkness. These two demon-possessed lions, man-eating lions. And they go to this group of woods, kind of like out in the middle of the savanna, out in the middle of the grass, the plains, and the lions are in there, and they surround it. Now, just before they go there, a friend of the engineer says, "Here, I just got this new gun. Take this gun." And so he says, "Okay, thank you." And he goes with that new gun.
And wouldn't you know it, the lion, one of the lions comes out in front of him. And he raises the gun, he puts the bead on the lion, pulls the trigger, and it goes click. And the lion gets away. Well, Remington, the experienced hunter, comes up to him and says, "Why didn't you shoot that lion?" He said, "Well, so-and-so gave me this gun." And he said, "What?" He said, "You went into battle with an untested weapon. You went into battle with an untested weapon." And then the guy's standing there kind of dejected and feeling embarrassed. Like, "Oh man, I really blew it." And then Remington looks at him and he says this. "There's a saying in prize fighting that everybody has a plan until they've been hit. You've just been hit. Whether you get up or not is up to you." Brothers and sisters, some of you have been hit in life. Your plan has been knocked off course. And you're laying in the gravel, laying in the dust. Are you going to get up? It's time to get up. You've got the Word of God. It hasn't changed. Your God hasn't changed. His love for you and His desire to use you hasn't changed. You've just been knocked in the dirt. The great Apostle Paul said, in one translation puts it this way, "Always receiving a knockdown, but never a knockout."
That's right.
We've all been knocked down, but not knocked out. It's time to get up. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're here tonight and you've got some disappointment in your life and discouragement and everything else that comes after it, and you want to get free of that tonight and get a brand new start so that you can receive everything that God wants to do for you, come line up right here. And we're going to impart something to you and get you all ready. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. God, we love you. "I'll not be disappointed, I'll not be discouraged, I'll not be dejected, no, 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 no. I'll not become despairing, no giving to demoralization. The Word of God's my solid front, amen. The Word of God is my solid front, amen." Amen. Yeah, can we move that back just a little bit there? Thank you. Amen. Well, Darlene and I are going to lay hands on you, and we're going to break the power of that disappointment. And we don't know if it's a demon or not. If it is, we're trusting the Lord to reveal it to us when we get to you.
Amen.
If it's just a condition of heart, you've just got a disappointed heart, we're going to ask God to heal it up, fix it, give you some courage, give you some hope again. Get rid of that despair, discouragement. We're just going to believe the Lord for that. And we're going to just love on you. And let Jesus love on you. Amen? Get you ready. This is going to be an awesome week. There's going to be some awesome things that take place here this week. So, hallelujah. I love to have Darlene minister with me. She's got a real anointing for the line. And so we're going to... If we get to a point tonight when we're ministering where you're through, you can leave. But we're going to stay till we're through. Okay?
And before we get started, I'd like for you to take some time, just a few moments, to examine your heart and see if you've been holding resentment against God. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we like to blame people. And sometimes we get over into being really stupid and blaming God, you know, and holding resentment about. In fact, let's pray.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Pray. Pray.
Father, we tell you, we tell you that you are a trustworthy God, that we know that your heart is for us. You couldn't have laid down anything more than what you have laid down.
That's right.
And Lord, we just ask for forgiveness right now. And we release any type of resentment that we had held against you. We just release it. It was stupid. So we release it in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
We just take it off and we lay it down. And we say, Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us.
Yes, Jesus.
This is the end of this message. LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBC bibleonline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.